To this message this morning, and this parable of the sower is the name of my message this morning, but it's also in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew. And so I found myself, when preparing for this message, looking at those Gospels and kind of comparing them, because they're all worded just a little bit different. But the message is the same. But some of the things in Matthew and Mark, I kind of added in as the setting. I want to let you know what's going on before we actually get into the verses this morning. But I'm going to read that, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. Verses 4 through 15 this morning, when a large crowd was coming together and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by the way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said this, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have also heard, and they go on their way. But they are choked off with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." I'd like to open us up this morning in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open up our ears to hear, that you would prepare our heart for this message. Lord, I pray that this message would change our hearts and transform our lives into being in conformity with you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the truth of your word, that it is the absolute truth, the absolute authority. Help us to surrender to that today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This scriptural passage this morning is pretty self-explanatory. It's not hard to understand when reading it, but there are some spiritual truths that I'm going to try to bring out this morning. I have an outline that I prepared for you this morning. It's pretty simplistic, a few fill-in-the-blanks. And what I thought I'd do before we start looking at the text this morning was kind of lay down some groundwork. If you've farmed or even gardened, this passage of scripture is going to be real familiar to you because of the symbolism. So I want to lay down some groundwork this morning before we actually get into the passage. This parable is one of 24 parables in the Gospel of Luke. It's one of 40 parables that Jesus taught. Almost one-third of Jesus' preaching was done in parables. So it's significant. And there's some powerful truths that Jesus gives us through these parables. It's preached more. The parable of the sower is actually preached more frequently than any other parable in the Bible. It's a parable of universal application, because the things it relates to are going on in every congregation, in every church in this world. Wherever the gospel is preached, these things are going on. This parable is a parable of caution about the way of hearing the word of God. It's also a warning to all who preach, pastors, even the apostles, that not to look for great results after preaching sermons. It is meant to be a warning to hearers. Usually I'm sitting where you are, and I'm listening to Pastor Dave. I'm trying to hear him preach. Today you're hearing me preach. It's so important that you hear the Word of God. Many times I've sat where you've sat, and I've walked out of a church service, and it's like I forgot what was preached. So that's why our hearing is so important. We need to be effective hearers. So I want to encourage you to listen this morning the best you can, to concentrate, to focus. That will help you be an effective hearer this morning. We all know that preaching God's word is essential to the church of Christ. But not only should there be good preaching, but also good hearing. This message is for all of us this morning. But this is also an encouragement. So it's not only a warning to be able to hear Jesus' words, but also an encouragement, because some people do respond superficially to God's word. And we're going to look at that this morning and figure out why that is as we look at four different soils. The parable of the sower is also sometimes frequently called the parable of the soils. And we're going to look at those soils in a few minutes. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't get discouraged, because not everyone who comes to a church service hears the message. Even though you're sitting there today, there might be things on your mind that are going through your mind right now that are going to conflict with you hearing this message. I hope that's not the case. But even Jesus Christ had the same response when he preached. His message fell on deaf ears, but not all the time. Some people heard the message and responded to it. And I hope that will be the case this morning. Before I get into the text, I wanted to clarify, just in case some of you might not know what a parable is. A parable is a figure of speech in which a moral or spiritual truth is illustrated by an analogy drawn from everyday experiences. I really like what John MacArthur says, and I think this will help bring clarity to what a parable is. And we're going to see this word picture in the text this morning. A parable is a simple word picture that illuminates a profound spiritual truth. A parable always makes a comparison between something that's common to us, and we're going to see that come out in this message this morning, and some truth in the spiritual realm. Jesus, the most important thing to him is our spirit. Our spirit. In our soul, in our heart. And I hope that comes out in this message also. But John MacArthur also says that what is a prerequisite for understanding parables is you've got to be faithful. You've got to be people of faith. And that faith is prompted and enabled by the Holy Spirit that lives in all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. Do you ever wonder why Jesus taught in parables? I did. When I was doing the study, I was like, why didn't he just explain? Why did he do parables, which conceal the truth to some and reveal the truth to others, basically? Well, at this time in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees were already conspiring to kill him. They were rejecting the truth that he was preaching. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And so they were rejecting everything they heard from him. And that's why he started to teach in parables, to hide the truth from them, because they are already rejecting him. They didn't understand. So that's what a parable is, and I just wanted to kind of clarify that in case some of you were not understanding what a parable is. Let's look at the setting this morning, the setting. Verse 4, when a large crowd was coming together, So we have a large crowd, but the setting, you have to look ahead in Scripture sometimes to understand who was with Jesus. We only need to look a couple verses before verse 4. It says Jesus was proclaiming, verse 1, the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, the disciples. Some women that were supporting him were with him, Mary Magdalene, whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support. But Luke's actually, he's missing something here in verse 4 that we can only get in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. And because Matthew and Mark have a simple majority over Luke, I'm going with what they're saying as far as the setting of Jesus telling this parable. And it's a beautiful setting. He was actually, if you look, I'm not going to go back, but if you check out the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it's going to be Matthew 13 and Mark 4. It says that Jesus was in a boat in the Sea of Galilee with a large crowd that had journeyed from various towns and had gathered on the seashore to hear him speak. A beautiful picture, the Sea of Galilee. But one thing you must know is around the Sea of Galilee, in my study this week and weeks prior to this, I found out that this was a big area of agriculture. There was a lot of farming that was going on in this area. And so one question that I asked is, well, this kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, they're growing crops, and Jesus is talking about the sower, the seed, and the soils. And so it all makes sense because these people were all familiar with that kind of stuff. They knew they were sowers of seed. And they sowed that seed so the crops would grow, so they could turn around and have food. So they were very familiar with sowing and the seed and the soil. And those are the three keywords that we need to understand in understanding this passage. So let's get into the text this morning, verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Who is the sower? The sower is the preacher. The sower is anybody who proclaims the word of God. My hope for all of us is that we are sowing seed, that we are sharing God's word with others. But this is a sower who's broadcasting the seed. I don't know if you've ever broadcasted seed. If you ever planted grass seed and you bought a little broadcaster and you filled it with seed and it kind of just, the seed just kind of goes everywhere. If we put ourselves back in this time frame, they would have had a bag with seed probably over their shoulder and they would have just picked the seed out of the bag and they would have just thrown it. They would have just broadcasted it. So it wasn't very accurate. I mean, they tried to be accurate, but some of the seed fell on the road, and these roads were roads that went between the fields that people traveled on. They were trampled on. They were hard. It was hard soil. But sowers have to be people of faith. We know the seed that Jesus is talking about is not the seed that will grow crops, but is the actual word of God. God's told us that my word will not return empty. It will accomplish all my purpose that it was set forth to do. So sowers must be people of faith. All three factors are needed to produce a crop. So the sower is the preacher. So anyone who preaches God's word is a sower. The seed is God's word. I don't want to jump ahead, but it is told to us in verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. I thought I'd get that out in front because Scripture is referring to the seed in almost every one of these verses. What do we know about God's word this morning? Well, just as a seed has life in it that we plant, so the word of God is alive and living. It's active. To those, it gives life to those who are spiritually dead. It's given life to us who once were spiritually dead. The word of God is powerful. It's capable. When germinated in the human heart, it can do a mighty work of transformation. That's what it's done in our hearts. It's transformed us. Just as a seed can produce a tree that bears much fruit, the Word of God can bear fruit in our lives. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Although the seed is powerful, it has to fall on good soil to bear fruit. Our reception of God's word is determined by the condition of our heart. So let's look at the parable. Again, verse 5. It was sowed on hard road, which got trampled on, and then also, we're told, the birds of the air ate it up. When we think about a garden, when we think about a scarecrow, why do we put a scarecrow in our garden? Well, it's to scare off the birds. Why? Because they eat the seed up, or they eat part of the plant up. Verse 6, other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Soil number 2 is the rocky soil. Verse 6. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. The third soil that the seed fell on is soil that was full of thorns. And then verse 8, we have the seed that fell on the good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. 100 times, that is an excellent harvest. It's almost an unimaginable harvest to get 100 times. And then Jesus said, as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is saying to all of us this morning, do you understand what I'm telling you? It's time to examine your heart. Jesus uses this let him, whoever has an ear, let him hear, probably 8 times in the book of Revelation. This phrase is a wake-up call for each one of us. It's time to listen. This is important. And then we have the disciples in verse 9 begin questioning him as to what this parable meant. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand a lot of things that Jesus preached. And here we have Jesus in verse 10 saying to the disciples, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not understand, and they may not see. I wish I had time this morning to get into the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but that's a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But there are truths, they're truths not revealed in the Old Testament, but revealed only to his children, the children of Christ. So these were mysteries. I'd like to turn back to Matthew 13. I'm going to be reading just a couple verses there. We have a prophecy, a prediction by Isaiah there. And this prophecy is fulfilled in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this is Jesus speaking again. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them.'" Because of the rejection of his truths that he was preaching, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand these new truths. So let's get into the heart of the matter, which is the soils. So I just read to the parable verses 5 through 8. Now we're going to see the meaning of the parable in verses 11 through 15. This is where it really gets good. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. The birds in verse 5 are Satan in verse 12. The seed that fell on the hard road represents people that don't listen. They're unresponsive. They don't respond to hearing the word of God. The seed just kind of hits them and bounces off them. It doesn't stick. Why? Because they have hardened hearts. They're callous to the things of God. The dirt is so hard, it can't accept the seed. Have you ever tried planting grass on hard soil? I have. I guess I just assumed that it would germinate. So I found out quickly that it wouldn't. So I tried it again. I worked up the soil a little bit, and eventually I got some grass. But I noticed where the dirt was hard, the seed still laid there. It never germinated. It ended up dying. It's the same here. Because the road was so hard, the seed couldn't grow because it laid on top of the soil. We all know that we have to work up the soil, especially if you're a gardener. You have to turn it over. You have to get rid of the hardness on top and all the leftover weeds from the last year, that things that grew, that died. You have to clean all that off. The soil has to be just right to accept the seed. But this seed, or this soil, was too hard. So what about people with hardened hearts? Well, the seed can't resonate in their consciences and does not make an impression into their minds. Besides, the birds are there, and they represent Satan. They come and eat the seed as soon as it is sown. So there's no way the seed can get into their hearts, because Satan grabs it before it can. We know the devil is everywhere. He's like a roaring lion, ready to devour us. He's waiting right now for an opportunity to destroy each one of our souls. Nowhere is he more active than in a congregation of gospel hearers. Nowhere does he labor so hard to stop the progress of that which is good and to prevent men and women from being saved and growing in Christ-likeness. What is he up to? Well, he brings up wandering thoughts and distractions into our minds, and we wonder why we find sermons so dull and can't even remember what was preached. I don't know if you remember, if you were here when Pastor Dave put up the dog, and the dog was distracted by numerous things. It can happen to us too. We get distracted. Satan's behind all of that. So how receptive are you to receiving the seed of God's word this morning? Because the degree of your spiritual growth depends on how much you are willing to receive. Why do people become unresponsive to God's word? There's a few things that I want to bring out about that this morning. It's spiritual pride. They're ignorant. They cling to worldly philosophies. They're unwilling to submit to the authority of God's word. There's no germination of the seed, so there can't be any growth. The seed doesn't germinate, there's no growth. Any life that's within you fades, and ultimately you become empty. So we look at, this morning we have the hard soil. Let's look at the number two soil there, and that's the rocky soil. Verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in temptation fall away. The seed on the rocky soil represents people who listen, but aren't rooted in God's word. They represent a shallow, impulsive heart. This is not a soil with rock scattered in it, but rather a thin layer of soil over hard limestone. I've never been to Palestine before, but I guess they have many places where there's a thin layer of limestone covered by dirt. So it's not actually a rocky soil. The warm, thin soil welcomes the seed, which seems to thrive more quickly than seed planted in deeper soil, but the roots cannot penetrate the limestone to find water, so then when the hot sun comes up, they wither and die. These people emotionally respond to hearing that following Jesus can solve their problems and offer them abundant light. At first, they're on fire for the Lord. I've been there. And they seem to make rapid progress in their faith. But then the trials hit. Then the afflictions hit. Then the persecution hits. And because they don't have deep roots, they quickly fall away. And their Christian experience is based on emotion and feeling good. But the truth of it is they were never saved in the first place. What are some of the characteristics of these people? They're too emotional. They're overly sensitive. They attend church to feel good. They're not interested in exercising their faith or putting their faith into practice. They have no desire to serve other people. They always have excuses. Always have excuses. I have an example for that this morning. I'm not the greatest gardener, but I tried one time. We have an area on our property that's nice and low, and it's rich, dark dirt. It just smells good. And I tried to plant corn behind our pool one year for the deer. I like seeing deer. But the soil was really sandy, and it was full of rocks. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I see all the weeds growing. Hey, this corn's going to grow. No problemo. It came up about 1 foot high. I never got any corn out of it. Within about a month or two, it died. Lousy, terrible soil to try to plant in. It was full of rocks. Those roots couldn't find moisture, and so they died. So let's look at the third soil here, the seed that fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. So none of these three, by the way, these are all unfruitful responses to the seed. There is only one fruitful response. But let's look at this third unfruitful response. The seed that landed on the soil infested with thorns represents a divided worldly heart. Again, they listen, but the problem is they're compromising with the world. They have a divided heart. They're double-minded. The seed seems to last longer on this soil, this rocky soil, but gradually the thorns take it over and choke it out, stunting the growth, so it does not produce fruit. Jesus identifies in this passage what these thorns are, their worries, their riches, their pleasures of this life. This is a person who wants the best of both worlds. He professes to believe in Jesus, but his heart is divided. He is still drawn after this world and what it has to offer. He may be rich or poor. Jesus is not talking about how much we possess, but our focus. The heart among the thorns is not fully committed to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He is trying to serve two masters, but he's really serving mammon, not God. Luke 16:13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." Even those who truly know Christ must continually pull out the weeds of greed and sensuality. We must deny the lure of the world that falsely tells us to live for this life only. 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." What are characteristics of worldly Christians? They have no true commitment, no backbone to stand for the truth. They have the wrong priorities. They chase after wealth, the worries of life. They're consumed with the worries of life. They have no relationship with Jesus, and top priorities are given for natural pleasures. My wife and I haven't planted a garden in probably 2 or 3 years, but we had a spurt there where we went like 3 or 4 years in a row, and I really wanted to plant strawberries. I love strawberries. It's probably my favorite fruit. And so we planted them, and the soil was good. And within a year, we got strawberries. And then the next year, we decided not to plant the garden. But I thought the strawberries would still be there. I went down there, and they were completely gone. The weeds had completely choked them off. There was nothing left of them. These things that Jesus is telling us today on this third soil choke off the seed of God's word. The weeds consume the plant, and it can't grow. And because it can't grow, it can't produce good fruit. So the common factor of these first three soils is this: none of them bear fruit. So I'm just going to throw out this question right now to all of us. Am I bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit for God over the long haul? Are the seeds of God's word taking root in your hearts? It's pretty simple. It's good seed plus good soil equals good fruit. These soils that Jesus is talking about is our heart. The problem with all of us is our sinful hearts. But let's look at verse 15, because we have a 180-degree turn here. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard, and they accept it in an honest and good heart, and they hold it fast, they embrace it, and they bear fruit with perseverance. The good soil, the seed that fell on the good soil, represents people who have listened and accepted and receive the implanted word. As believers in Christ, this soil should be what our heart represents. These are true Christians. They have truly been saved. They are filled with the power and influence of God. They persevere in righteousness. They are not only hearers of the word, but doers, as James talks about. In response to God's grace, the person hears the word. They understand the word when they hear it because of the Holy Spirit who teaches us. They hold it in their minds and in their hearts, and it bears fruit through patience, through trials, through tribulations, through time, and through discipline. Fruit in the life of a believer is the evidence of true saving faith. It's fruit. What does that look like in a believer's life? Well, it's our character. Do we show the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control. Are those some of the characteristics of each one of us? These people continually feed on God's word so that it confronts their sin, it challenges their wrong attitudes, and it shows them how to live in a manner pleasing to God. These are people who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, and His strength is the Lord. They always seek to grow in their walk with the Lord. It's a living, active faith. They are not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of their mind every day. They are truly living out their faith. And I know that's challenging. It's challenging for me, so I'm sure it's challenging to you. But even the good soil, our lives, our hearts, even the good soil is going to have some rocks. It's going to have some weeds. And it's our responsibility to let God plow the soil of our hearts, to turn it over, to keep changing it, to keep molding it and refining it into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So how can we apply, what can we apply to our life today after hearing this passage of Scripture? How can we become fruitful Christians? I think that's the answer. One of the things that really stuck with me in doing this study was, am I bearing fruit? Okay, what does that look like? What does that look like in other believers' lives? How can we be fruitful Christians? Because that's the evidence of true saving faith, is our fruit. While we look at the first soil this morning, one thing we can do to become fruitful Christians, because the first soil, those are people with hardened hearts. Well, you need to confess your sins and repent and completely surrender your life to Jesus Christ now. You can't wait. You need to change your attitude. You need to have the attitude of Christ. You need to have the mind of Christ. You have to have His nature. You need to seek Him. You need to learn to listen. So many times, like I've said, I've come in here and I've listened to pastors and bring a message, and I walk out of here and it's like, what did he just say? So I know it can happen. We need to be effective listeners. We need to be engaged in what we hear. We need to try to understand it, to pull out the truth, ask questions about it. We're observing the text. We ask questions. The Holy Spirit will bring understanding. But what's the opposite of a hard heart? It's a soft heart. People that with hard hearts, you need to make yourself receivable and allow God to soften your heart. For me, years ago, a young man was sowing the seed to me at work, and he was teaching me, sharing Scripture with me, and I started listening, I started understanding, but I still hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And about a year after that, I got into a serious accident at work. It almost cost me my life. I got hung up in a hydraulic lift palletizer that was palletizing boxes of crackers that we made at Keebler, which it's Kellogg's now on 28th Street. That's where I used to work. God used that incident to get a hold of my life. And I almost not only lost my physical life, but my spiritual life, because up to that point, I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he was the only one out there that day. He hit the E-stop on the machine. And I was so fortunate, because I think it lifted me about 2 feet up off the ground, grabbed me like this, snapped my jaw like that, and there was nothing at the top, so I popped out of it. If there had been something at the top, a piece of framework or steel, it would have crushed my head. I would have been dead just like that. It missed my temple by about an inch. God used that incident to get a hold of me, and he was saying, this is serious, Ben. You need to accept me and believe on my name. And he used that to bring me to my knees. He used that to soften my heart. And it's never been the same ever since. Hard-hearted people need to submit. They need to allow the Holy Spirit to transform their life. They need to die to self and pride and become humble people. We can't listen to Satan and allow him to capture our thoughts either. How about people that are those that are in the rocky soil? They have no firm root. Well, you need to grow deeper roots. To become a mature Christian, you need to feed on God's word and don't get carried away by emotions. Learn to forgive and forget. Get into the game. Stop being a spectator. No more excuses. Get involved in some kind of ministry, a Bible study, prayer and care, something, a worship service. Be teachable. Nobody knows everything. How about if you're the third soil there, the soil that's among the thorns, the worldly people? What do you need to stop doing? Well, you need to stop compromising the Word of God. You can't walk in the Spirit and the flesh. They can't coexist. Don't give Satan an opportunity. Go to Jesus for constant cleansing. Repent and ask for forgiveness. Flee from compromising or tempting situations. How about your priorities? Is God number one in your life? Or do you love the things of the world? You kind of just push God aside and, yeah, I'll get to you later, God. But right now, I'm really enjoying my life and the pleasures that I love to do. Don't get distracted by life. Make a fresh commitment right now. So often, I find myself, oh, I'm too busy to do that. I think Satan's all over that being too busy stuff. It's just another way of distracting me from doing what I should be doing. But what if you were like the seed that fell on good soil this morning? Do we just say we've made it and we stop? No. None of us have arrived. Jesus Christ is preparing us for his kingdom. That takes time, patience. It's over the long haul. We will never be perfect until we are in heaven with him. We will always have this sin nature. What should you be doing, though? Well, keep pursuing holiness and practice godliness. Keep watch for the snares of the enemy. Realize this, the closer you get to God, the harder Satan's going to try to devour you, to deceive you, to put doubts into your mind. He wants you to walk away from God, to stop following him. Don't stop bearing fruit. Let the Holy Spirit continue to transform you. What about other people? Pray for the seed to take root and grow in them and bear fruit. What is the bottom line of these passage? What is Jesus? What kind of truths can we get out of this parable? Well, it's pretty plain to see God wants one thing from all of us, isn't it? Our hearts. He knows our hearts and searches our hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I don't know your heart, you don't know mine, but God knows all of our hearts. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Jesus Christ said in Luke 5, verse 31 through 32, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Every one of us this morning has heard and received the seed of God's word at some point in our lives, haven't we? How are your roots? Are they receiving the nourishment they need to grow? Like water, light, and good soil needed to make plants grow? Are you continually spending time in the word? Or do you spend more time watching TV? When we spend time in the Word, we will grow spiritually with deep roots that will bear fruit. These roots will help us stand firm in our faith. Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need to be able to withstand the snares of Satan and the trials and tribulations of our lives. We will have a good and honest heart that seeks after Christ and his kingdom. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If you would, turn to the Gospel of John real quick. John 15, verses 4 through 5. What about this bearing fruit thing? I think this will provide some clarity on that. I'm going to start with verse 1. We have Jesus speaking again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and as they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned up. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The reason I wanted to share that this morning is you can't bear fruit unless you're connected to Jesus Christ. You can't do anything apart from him. You might try, but you can't. He is the vine and we are the branches. As a branch draws strength, nourishment, protection, and energy from the vine, if it is broken off, it quickly dies and becomes unfruitful. When we neglect our spiritual life, ignore the word of God, skimp on prayer, and withhold areas of our lives from the Holy Spirit, we are like a branch broken off of the vine, and our lives become fruitless. We need daily surrender, daily communication with God, and daily repentance and connection with the Holy Spirit in order to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So what kind of lessons can we learn this morning from these, from this parable that's titled Parable of the Sower? It doesn't say a whole lot about the sower, other than in verse 8. But to anyone who proclaims the word of God, and I hope that's everyone that's in here today, keep sowing. And sow faithfully. You don't ever know when God's word is going to stick to a heart that is prepared for it, to receive it. It is true, not everywhere we sow the seed of God's word. And Jesus had the same thing. The seed doesn't always fall on good soil. Sometimes it falls on lousy soil. Our reception of God's word is dependent on our hearing. We need to become effective listeners. Our reception of God's word is dependent on the condition of our hearts, the condition of the soil. What is the condition of your heart today? Have you examined? Every day we need to examine our hearts. Lord, is there something that's in my life that's not pleasing to you right now? Would you bring it to my mind so that I can confess it to you? And I know you will forgive me. Because I want to be right with you. I want to bear fruit. Because God is glorified when we bear fruit. We're commanded to bear fruit as Christians. That's the evidence of our true saving faith. I want to close with this. If I can find it. There it is. The popular preacher Chuck Swindoll tells of ministering at a family conference. There was a young couple there with several small children, and it was obvious that they had some serious problems in their marriage. But as the week progressed, Chuck watched this couple change as they sat under the teaching of God's word. The husband seemed to hang on every word. The wife had her Bible open and followed carefully from passage to passage. On the last day, they both came up to Chuck and said, "When we came, we were ready to separate. We're going back now stronger than ever, than we've ever been in our marriage." "That's tremendous," Chuck said. "But the sad thing is this. At the same conference, with the same speakers, the same truths, the same surroundings, another man was turned off. He wasn't open to God's word. He attended the first few sessions, but his guilt became so great and his conviction so deep that he went home. His family left hurting, perhaps even more so than when they came. What was the difference between these two men at the same conference? The difference was the condition of the soul of their hearts. In Jesus' audience that day were some who immediately shrugged off his teaching. Some welcomed his message, but fell away as soon as the persecution arose. Others, like Judas, allowed the thorns of greed to choke out the word. But many heard his word eagerly, held it fast, and brought forth fruit for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, would you do a mighty work in our hearts? Would you consistently make our hearts acceptable and receivable to receive the truth of your word? But not only that, not to just to have head knowledge, Lord, but to put it into action, to have a living faith, a faith that we live out every day. Lord, it takes discipline, it takes hard work, but we are people of faith, and we need to draw from your power and your strength. Help us to yield to the Holy Spirit, not resist or grieve the Holy Spirit. You've said in your word, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Lord, may that be said to each one of us who profess to love you, that we keep your commandments. Lord, we understand that life is hard. We have these weeds that come into our life, that choke out. And then we have the spiritual warfare going on with Satan, who wants us to walk away from you, who puts doubts into our minds. Lord, prepare our hearts that we would have good soil, and that this good soil would bear fruit. And just like a seed that reproduces, I pray, Lord, that people will see us and see us as transformed people that stand firm on the foundation of your word, that they will ask the question, there is something about them that's different, and that you would open their hearts to the message of your word, to the message of the kingdom. And that message is, we can only enter the kingdom if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to enter the kingdom. And what a beautiful kingdom that is. We look forward to that day when we will be in your kingdom with you. What a beautiful place, as it's told in the book of Revelation, unimaginable, where there's joy and peace and love, and where Satan and sin are out of the picture and gone for good. Lord, I thank you for each one tonight. Today, I pray, Lord, again, that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds every day. Help us to be in your word, to meditate on it. If we do that, we will find it successful in this life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.